loved and forgave. A life that is on fire, be only our heart's desire. Be faithful from now to the grave. May the Lord find us faithful. May his word be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful. Every day, though we live, though we die.
You may be seated. As a high school student, I did not participate in football. I didn't weigh enough, okay? That's hard to believe at this point, I know, but anyway, I was about 120 pounds soaking wet, and so I didn't play baseball. Well, I did play baseball, but not for the school. And many of you were involved in some kind of sport while you were in school, or when you were in college, maybe you got involved in sports. But all of us have learned to compete. We compete every day. We compete with people for places in traffic, and sometimes we are kind. My you know, I try and do one kind deed every day, and every once in a while I'll let somebody out. That's it, okay, for the day. You may understand that. But I really try and do more than that. But anyway, we compete. We have been taught to compete. Everything in life is about competition, being better than someone else or being better than we think we can be. But we learn. And the title for tonight's message is Our Plans versus God's plans. Now, sometimes we compete with God. And when we do that, it leads to some unusual results. And so we want to look at that a little bit tonight. And this may be a verse you have never heard. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We know that. At least I hope we do. And you've heard Jimmy and I banter, you know, back and forth about Romans 8:28, how all things are for good. It doesn't say that. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that all things are good. It says all things work together for good. And so tonight I want us to think about our plans versus God's plans, because they're not necessarily the same. In fact, most of the time we make our plans and God changes circumstances on us, and suddenly we can't do what we want to do, or what we plan to do, or what we've been planning to do. So have you ever made extensive plans to accomplish some particular task or to take a vacation to a particular place only to have circumstances cancel those plans? We all have. We all have. Did you say, praise the Lord? I don't hear that much. And that's not normally our response, is it? Because our plans are important to us. Were you disappointed? Yes. Were you frustrated? Yes. How can that be working together for our good? How can disappointment, how can frustration work for our good? And so that's what we're going to look at tonight, briefly. Well, not really briefly. We all make plans that get changed because the situation changes. And as we meet tonight, as we think about God tonight, our Father, our Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, as we think about what He has planned tonight, He has a plan for you, a specific plan for you. And so as you and I make our plans, do we do it prayerfully? Do we do it seeking the Holy Spirit's leading in establishing of those plans? Or do we, like a bull in a china shop, just charge ahead and lay our plans and head out in that direction? Yeah, we do. Now, whose fault is that? I don't like to take the blame, okay? I like to blame my wife. She's not here tonight. Okay, she's got procedures tomorrow, and she's doing prep for those, and so she's not going to be here tonight. But I like to try and blame her, but she blames me for some things, too. Unfortunately, she's usually right when she does, so. I don't know if we have anybody here that might plan every minute detail of a project. Or if we might have someone here who just takes it day by day, whatever the day throws at you, that's what you deal with. Or do we have people here that are somewhere in between those two extremes? Well, we all probably from time to time do these things. I do find it amazing how that God keeps us from so much harm. I find it amazing. AB and Nancy were on their way home today, and they had a close call. And God, we talked about Him this morning, you know, His mercy and His comfort that He wants to make for us. But God keeps us from so much harm by intervening in our circumstances. And I'm just so grateful for that, but I'm also amazed by it. You know, a few weeks ago, I taught about prayer, the different meaning, and where Paul told the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. He said, he indicated what that actually, what that word prayer means, is move toward God without ceasing. Move to be closer to God without ceasing. And that's what we should all be doing in our hearts, if not in our minds. And I believe that what he told the Thessalonian church indicates that every day we should be moving closer to God. Now, we're not all doing that. I'm not doing that. Because there are days where I make my own plans. And I try and execute my own plans without thinking about what God's plan might be for that day. So at this point, I have to admit that there are times I get frustrated by the fact that I can't do something that I have been planning on. Because things change. And so now I know that's not happened to any of you, but there are times when I attempt to do something that I think is good only to be frustrated because God intervenes. Now, none of you have ever been frustrated by God, have you? My. Would you think yourself capable of arguing with God? Would you think yourself capable of fighting with God to do what you want to do rather than what He wants you to do? The question is this: are God's plans our plans? Are God's plans our plans? And there have been times when I've not been quite sure whether this was God interceding in my behalf or if it was the devil trying to prevent me from doing something that God wanted me to do. Anybody ever have that kind of a problem? Yeah. How do we know? And that's where faith comes in. Faith to trust that God is more powerful than the devil. Trust to believe that God will ordain our lives if we will let Him. And that everything that comes into our life, no matter what it is, good, bad, indifferent, is God orchestrating our life for our benefit, for our good. Now, we all have experienced this, and we need to begin to look at things a little bit differently. We need to begin to look at things that happen to us, and sometimes we think they're bad things. Connie and I were on this trip. We were on our way from Wilmington to Greenville, South Carolina, and at lunchtime, we stopped at a Pilot that had a Wendy's. Okay, we got in line. There were three people ahead of us and three people standing over where they had already placed their order and were waiting for their food. 45 minutes later, we got to the window to place our order. Now, the woman ahead of us was making a lot of comments about how good and how happy she really was about this situation. You can imagine what she was saying, okay? I can't tell you. The people behind us, you can see there was another couple behind us, and everybody was really sort of tense. What is taking them so long to fix a lousy hamburger? Or a chicken sandwich? And the couple behind us, I could see them leaning over talking to each other, and I turned around to them and I said, "Relax, folks, we've only been here 2 weeks." And they laughed, and the woman ahead of us finally laughed. And you see, if we will accept what God does in our life, we won't have to be frustrated. We won't have to be upset. We can rejoice. God has a purpose. I don't know what was going on out on the road if we'd have been out on the road. But we weren't out on the road. We were standing 6 feet behind the woman ahead of us waiting for a chicken sandwich. God intercedes in our lives every day in order to make all things work together for good. Everything. He is not going to harm you in any way. He's not. He loves you. You're His child. And He wants to please you. He wants to provide what you have need of, even if you don't know what that is. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we are told, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Can I say that? Do you want to see where you're going? Do you want to see where each step is going to be? Ask AB about steps. AB, how did that work together for your good? Have you figured it out yet? People, those things happen to us. They are not to harm us. They are for our good. Either the Bible is true, and that verse, Romans 8:28, is absolutely true all the time, or the Bible's a lie. I don't believe it's a lie, folks. I believe it's true. And I believe there's a reason when things happen. And God, who can see all things, we just see what's here in front of us. God, who can see down the road, he can see the future. He knows that sometime in the future, what happens to us now is going to be for our good. I want to see where I'm going. I want to see what lies ahead of me. And the further I can see, the better I think it is. And yet, I am so glad that God does not show us the future. Because there are not many of us who have the courage to face the future if we knew what it was. We'd go hide someplace and stay there. It's important that we trust God for our future, not ourselves. And God wants to give us a sure future, a good future. Now, so far in this message, I've been talking about sort of worldly things, physical things, things that go on in our lives, that affect our lives, that affect us, outside influences. But I want us to think about what is buried in our normal activities. What is going on in our hearts and our souls? Now, I love it when God gives me an illustration I can share with you. And tonight, he did that. This morning when I came into the church and unlocked it, I looked out and I saw a man coming out of the woods across the street and coming across Dorchester Road. And I was sort of watching him, and he came on down our driveway. And I thought, well, he's going to the food, to the blessing box. And no, he walked right past it and didn't even see it. And he walked on down beside the building, and I thought, what's he wanting? And so I prepared to meet him. And he came to the back door and opened the door and came in. He wanted to use our bathroom. He's living somewhere back there in the open. He doesn't have a home. Well, he did have a home, but his parents threw him out, and he cannot go back home. There's an opportunity for us as a church to minister to a lost soul that belongs to God. Remember a couple weeks ago, all souls are mine? They are. And he wants those souls. And so that young man, Tim ran into him yesterday when you ladies were practicing. And again, he let him use our restroom. Think about this. We all have homes. When we want to use the restroom, we can go to the restroom. But what if you don't have one? What if you don't have any place like that? What are you going to do? And suppose you don't have a place to do a simple thing like wash your hands. Sometime during the day. You and I, we wash our hands many times during the day because of this coronavirus. First thing I do when I get home from church, because I've been shaking hands with all of you, my hands are dirty. Not really. But I wash my hands. So do you, probably. We have sanitizers scattered around, so you can, when you've shaken hands with somebody, you can, you know, ooh, germs. But here's a young man in his early 20s. No place to wash his hands, no place to go to the bathroom. And I noticed yesterday when he was here, Tim, that before he left, boy, he drank water out of that fountain. He drank and he drank and he drank. No source of water where he is. And so tonight, I asked Diana, I said, Diana, would you give me a roll of toilet paper for him? Because that's something that you don't find out in the field. And then I gave him some water. And see, we can show the love of God to anybody he puts in our life. That's what we're here for. We're here to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ with everyone that God brings into our presence. And so we make plans. I did not plan for him to come in here, but he did. God sent him. And if we look at it that way, that he is an opportunity for us to share God's love, to show the love of God. Had a chance to talk to him tonight. I usually don't counsel in the bathroom, but I did. Okay. I usually do that in my office. But he needed to know that we were on his side and that God loves him. He knows that tonight. So, you see, when God alters our plans, it's because God's got something better for each one of us. Always. John 7, 16 and 17, Jesus was teaching his believers, his followers, and he made a statement that should be incorporated into all of our lives. John 7, 16 and 17, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You see, even Jesus, though he was God, was submissive to God's will, the Father's will. And he did what the Father asked him to do. And so, folks, when God asks us to change our plans, I don't know why I can't do this. We're not to mumble. We're not to be frustrated. We're to trust God that he is doing something good for us. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So the question tonight is, are each of us willing to let God direct our lives? Are we willing to let God direct our lives? And in 99% of the time, the answer would be yes. Of course we are. But then there's that 1%. My time. My plans. Not God's. One of the most exciting aspects of our love relationship with God is expounded in several verses in the New Testament. And I'd like to have us look at them right now. The first verse is going to be 1 Corinthians 2:9. If you would turn there, please. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, that's all of us, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You and I have no idea what awaits us in the life to come. We have no idea of what it's going to be like when we get to be with Jesus Christ and with God in heaven. Can't even imagine it. What do you picture as heaven? Flower garden with lots of flowers around? How about the color? How about the sound? How about the light, the brightness, the purity of the air, the crispness? That's not even getting a start on what it's going to be like, of what he holds in his hand waiting to give us when we get to heaven. Next verse that I think about is Ephesians 6:24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Isn't it fantastic having the grace of God operating in our lives because God loves us? You think of what the grace of God has done for you today. Think about it. Here you are tonight. You haven't broken a leg or an arm. You haven't fallen on your face here on the platform. Isn't it great, AB? God's grace has brought us, each one of us, here safely tonight. We had a way to get here, we think. We'll find out when we go out there that we have a way to go home. That's God's grace. That's the grace of God, because we don't have to have that. We could be like that kid living across the way in the woods. And any place he wants to go, he's got to walk. And I don't believe he's got any income. I don't think some of these people living in the woods actually have an income. They've got Social Security, they've got a retirement income of some sort where they have money coming in on a regular basis that they can buy food with and a few things that they want. But I don't believe he's got any of that. But you and I do. You can go home, on the way home from you can stop by the store and get something that you might want. Or you go to McDonald's and get a hamburger if you eat McDonald's hamburgers. I don't. AB does. That's something to think about. That could have caused him to wind up here on his face. God loves you. God wants to orchestrate your life, and he wants you to let him do that. He wants to meet your needs. He doesn't want you living in the woods. I don't believe he wants a single one of you living in the woods. And you're not in the woods because of the grace of God. That's why. Think about it. The next verse, the two more verses, and we'll wrap it up for tonight, But the next verse, well, the next two verses are from the letter of James. James wrote a letter to believers. And in James 1, verse 12, he says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Folks, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? If you do, when you get to heaven, the first thing is going to happen, he's going to get you a crown of life. He's going to give you the crown of life. Man. think of that. What? How can anybody complain about that? And then finally in James 2:5, it tells us, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised them that love him?" Folks, we have a privilege to love God, and he loves us. Oh, it's unimaginable, the promises that God has made to us in his word, and to all of those who love God. And tonight, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, those promises are to you. They're not to somebody else. They're to you. All the disappointments and the frustrations that have seemed like obstacles in our path to accomplish what we want to accomplish have actually been grace from the Lord Jesus Christ and from God. Grace to get us to where we are tonight. And grace that will get us to where he wants us tomorrow. And the week after that, and the week after that. God's grace. And we know that all things work together to them, for good, to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Now we've been concentrating upon one verse, Romans 8:28, but there are two other verses following that verse that I want us to look at to include, so that we are taking Romans 8:28 in context. Because those other next two verses have to do with you and me. Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Whom he did foreknow. Let me explain that verse. Before there was such a medium as time. Before the world existed. Before anything existed other than God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit of God, realized that we would all be sinners. I mentioned that this morning. And they determined that they would do whatever was necessary to cover your sin so that you could have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And they did. They planned that there would be a time, in time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to be the payment for our sin. And from that moment on, we had the opportunity to be saved. Now, God foreknew, as he was meeting and with and we don't can't comprehend the Trinity. But as the Trinity was contemplating how to save us, names were written down. Oh, Janice Schleppi. Let's put her in the Lamb's Book of Life. Faye Woods, let's put her in the Lamb's Book of Life. All our names were recorded because God foreknew that when you had the chance, you would believe. When somebody told you about Jesus Christ and what he did in dying for your sin, you would believe that. That you would believe that he rose from the dead on the third day. And so your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Before the foundation of the world. And God knew that. When it talks about the foreknowledge of God, that's what it's talking about. He knew in advance. He knows right now what all of our ends are going to be. And he is going to make it as good as he can for all of us to come about in our life. So, God predestinated you to be like Jesus. And you're not like you used to be, I hope. Now, there's one more thing that God is going to do for you. He hasn't done it yet, but he's going to do it. God is going to give you the same glory that Jesus Christ had. When you die and you appear in heaven, you are going to be like Jesus. The Bible tells us that. You're going to have his glory. You're going to radiate. You're going to shine. You're going to be sinless. You're going to be pain-free. You're going to be in a perfect body. I don't know. It's not going to be 92 years old, okay? It's going to be a perfect body. And so that's a promise to us. So we still got stuff to look forward to. So in 1 John 3, 2 and 3, this is where he makes the promise. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And that's where I'd like to end it tonight. We have something, we have a hope, we have an expectation, and that is in God. If you've been saved, you've been justified. If you've been saved, you've been predestined to be where you are and where you are. And God is going to take care of you. He's going to deliver you. I want us to have some time. I'm not quite done yet, but I want us to have some time to pray tonight. There are three things that I want us to pray about. I want us to pray for the president and his wife and his family, because I'm sure they have all been together at one time or another. And so many of them have been exposed to this coronavirus. But I want to pray. I would like to ask you to pray that he is going to quickly recover, she's going to quickly recover, that the rest of the family will not get this. Then I want you to pray for our nation. Our nation is in very, very grave trouble. We may not have a nation in less than a month. It may break out. If this election doesn't go the way it needs to go, we're going to probably see a civil war. Yeah, a civil war. And people are going to be killing each other. And so we need to really pray. People, it's important. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, I will heal their land," and our land needs healing. So that's the second thing I want us to pray for. And then I want us to pray that this church, the members of this church, will experience revival. We need it in our hearts. We need the Holy Spirit to repurify our hearts and put us back the way we should be, serving our God. So I'm going to just go ahead and let you pray at will. I'm going to ask Tim to start, and you ladies are more than invited. We would love to hear you praying with us, but we'll keep the prayers moderately short, okay? So that more of us have a chance to pray. And then when it's time, I'll go ahead and close. All right, Tim, would you pray for us?